The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. The Gospel of the Lord.
My heart is very full this morning, as it always tends to be on Marian feast days. This morning when Thomas and I were here this morning praying, he had to go to work, but he still came here to set everything up for Mass. And I was like, holy man, pray for him to be a priest, please. You know, all of you. But when we were here this morning, of course, just this time of the year, just as everything falls, there was just this glowing, radiant light just surrounding the statue of our Blessed Mother, just the way that the light was streaming through the windows this morning. You know, like a little kid, I was just like, Thomas, look at the statue of the Blessed Mother. And so we both kind of just stood here and gazed upon the statue of our Blessed Mother for a little while. And, you know, it was just one of those moments where you're just like, look at this, you know, two grown men, you know, staring at the statue of the Blessed Mother. And I was like, you know, thank God for that. You know, thank God for, and I was just thinking, thank God for my own parents. Because, you know, without them, I would have never been here in the first place. And of course, the other option, and I believe this is the option that I read last year. It's so hard to decide because how Jesus came into this world, that gospel, or the Gospel of the Genealogy. Now, the Gospel of the Genealogy is a little bit more tedious, but it's no less important. And the reason that it's so unbelievably important, again, is because just as I had this great gratitude and thankfulness for my life at that moment of just staring at the statue of the Blessed Mother, you think about, again, if it wasn't for all of those people in salvation history being open to life, then we don't get the Blessed Mother. We don't get Jesus. It's all of them being open to what God has planned for them, not the plans that they have for themselves, being open to life, protecting life itself to actually give us the author of life. I mean, it's unbelievably profound. And one thing I wanted to just share briefly this morning was that my spiritual director gave me this book by Jacques Philippe. It's called Priestly Treasure in Earthen Vessels, Fatherhood. And this is the part I just wanted to read to everyone this morning. I've got all my little tabs here. So, like I said, as I was profoundly thankful for my own parents bringing me into this world, if not for their good example, if not for their great Christian example, I don't really think I would be capable of being a priest. I certainly don't think I could be a father to many if it wasn't for having amazing parents myself. But this is one of the things that Jacques Philippe says. He says, without fatherhood, there is a transmission problem. He says, the role of a father is to inscribe a child into a lineage, giving access to a heritage. A heritage that the child must later transmit to others. It's a question of transmission. And we know how difficult it is already today to transmit from one generation to the next everything that makes up the richness and beauty of existence. The human and spiritual virtues, the culture, the traditions belonging to a country, and more. The lack of a paternal role makes this transmission more difficult. Of course, we notice that this shortcoming produces a certain type of personality, the individual who has no awareness what is owed to those who came before, who has no sense of responsibility toward those who will come after, without gratitude for the past, and without responsibility to others for the future. That person will be content to profit from life to the maximum in a selfish and individualistic manner. This type of attitude is not rare today. I'm pretty sure every one of us could have probably said something very, very similar to what Jacques Philippe is talking about. In the selfishness of life and the way that many people are living it this day, there's very little recognition where we came from, how we were raised, and how to keep going and look towards the future. But again, in that lineage reading that we would have as the other gospel option, we see that's how we get the example of Mary. You know, that's how we get Anne and Joachim, who have Mary, and then Mary, you know, who will have Jesus. And it's the opposite of a transmission problem. That transmission, that heritage, that lineage literally gives us life. It actually saves us. And through the example of Christ, through the example of his ultimate sacrifice, then we realize that once we are given life, then the Lord gives us a certain amount of power to actually sacrifice if need be. Once he's given us the gift, what does he say? There's no greater gift than to lay down your life for your friends. But you cannot lay down a life that has not been gifted to you first. It is an unbelievable and great gift. But first, we have to receive that gift. We have to propagate that gift. We have to protect the gift. There's one other thing that I wanted to read from this book today. It's probably one of these things where I should just stand here and just one day read the whole entire book to every one of you. You know, it's just the same thing as I was saying. Today, we're living through the paradox of a society that on one hand is very lax and permissive, and on the other hand, without mercy for those who make mistakes. In the kingdom of God, it is exactly the reverse. There are both strong requirements that show us the correct path for life, as well as great mercy that offers the continuous possibility of renewal in case of error. And then I just took a sticky note and I wrote it right above there as we pray at our rosary. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, right? We're a reminder of just the way that things are functioning in society. People think that they're free, but they're absolutely enslaved. But true freedom is actually submitting to something far, far greater to us. And then we remember, you know, even that great greeting that the angel Gabriel gives to Mary. Remember, it's like, so the most scriptural prayer would be the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, because what happens? The disciples are like, teach us how to pray, Lord. And he, from his very own mouth, gives those words of the Our Father. This is how you are to pray. The second most scriptural prayer is the Hail Mary. Remember, in Luke 1:28, 1:42, right there, it's those two portions of Luke, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and says, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. You know, that greeting, Hail, is kind of a befitting greeting to royalty. That's what the angel Gabriel is doing in that very moment right there. And then what's the next part? When Elizabeth greets Mary, says, you know, blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then I always say this, and then the last part of the Hail Mary is just a fact. You know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. We're like, please. It's a pleading for her to pray for us when we are in the hour of our death. So first scriptural prayer, Our Father. Second most scriptural, the Hail Mary. And one of the things that we always need to remind those that don't understand Mary's role in our Catholic faith is a very, very easy distinction. that there is something that we call latria, which is worship that we have only for God. It's only reserved for God. And then there's two other aspects that we call reverence, hyperdulia and dulia. Hyperdulia is reverence given to the Blessed Mother Mary. Very, very high honor, with great, great high honor and distinction. And then dulia is the honor that we have for the saints. Remember, so worship for the one God who Mary always points towards, but then a great, great honor for her, and then an honor for the saints who help us with our own prayers. But this day, just think about your own parents. Think about those that brought you into this world, those that were open to life, and that we realize that's a responsibility that we've been handed ourselves, and that we have to continue to protect and cultivate today in our society. Today after this Mass, I'm going to give the second graders a tour of the church. And again, we need to continue to pray for Catholic schools and those that we educate here, that they're protected from error, the errors of the world that tries to kind of like snatch them up. Those of you that pray the breviary know this one well. On Tuesday night, you always hear this. Stay sober and alert. The devil is prowling like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, solid in your faith. That's something that we always have to remember. And so we have to save each other from that. You know, we have to bring each other into the company of our Lord Jesus Christ and Our Lady. If we could do that, like I said, Our Lady will always point the way to Christ, and we'll always be able to follow him with her at our side. God bless you all.